Do you know what I'm grateful for? This little ditty that we're about to play. Welcome back to another chaotic week with us, everyone. Welcome back to Restitching the Tapestry. We are on episode 131, and we are grateful to be here tonight to talk about gratitude. We're really slap happy. So, like, we just died laughing in the back room, so bear with us.
I think the words post-coital clarity came up at one point.
We'll talk about that later.
Oh, really?
Oh. Well, everyone, I'm still dying. Okay. Well, we're really excited to be here. So what have we been doing and how have we been?
I am on my off week from my graduate classes. So I am just taking the week to relax, enjoy myself, do a heck of a lot of nothing this week. I'm trying to get some reading done and failing. I'm trying to work on editing my poetry book. I'm about halfway through editing my poetry book right now. Beachfront property, and I'm just getting a lot of orgasms in sleep.
Well, it sounds like you've been very productive lately, which I applaud.
Right.
For me, I've been doing well. I've been doing a lot of like outdoorsy stuff, obviously, like work and everything like that. What else? Last weekend, we had like a little bachelor party thing for some friends, and it went very well. It was quite lovely. Although I must say, like, I'm really grateful to not be going out this weekend, considering the past two weekends have been like going out, you know, until like 2 a.m.
It's been a busy month, hasn't it? Like,
it has been a very busy month. It's that damn Virgo season, I'm telling you.
It's exciting.
It is exciting. So beyond that, though, I have been doing a little bit of writing. I have been kind of creating like the structure and concept of a fourth collection of poems. Very much in its infancy, though. That won't be happening for a very, very, very long time. But the wheels are turning. I am preparing prompts for Octopolymer next month. So if anybody is excited to participate in that, like, that will be available. Ari, are you doing Octopolymer, Inktober, and NaNoWriMo?
I just bought all of the stuff necessary to do Inktober. And I always do Octopolymer with you, always.
I love it. I
actually just bought a whole thing of notebooks necessary to do Octopolymer.
Perfect. You know what? I might do all of my poems this time in just a notebook instead of typing it. Let's mm-hmm. see what... I think I'm going to challenge myself to do that. And I definitely want to do NaNoWriMo this year. I've been wanting to for like years, but I've never done it. So I might need you to be my accountability buddy. Donnie, did you write today?
For NaNoWriMo this year, I'm going to write scripts instead of books.
Okay, I like that. In your area of expertise, that's perfect. Right. Oh, so Arby is here. Jackie is here.
Hi.
Leo is here. Leo, we've not seen you in 3,000 years. How have you been, my friend? We miss you. I hope that things have been going well. So current event snapshot. What is going on lately? What if we had going on in this world? I just closed my notes. Great.
Everything's been just like really crazy. It's been raining so much lately. It's been like insane.
I know. Like, you know, there's a lot of political things on our list tonight for current event snapshot, but I don't feel like talking about them. Let's talk about the weather. Yeah, like rain. It's been getting cold though, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
Because I am feeling the fall season. I don't know if you can see, but I have my pumpkin wax warmer lit.
Yeah.
And it is filled with, what is it filled with? Oh, apple cider pumpkin pie wax melt. It smells super good.
I definitely had some apple spice donuts the other day, and they were not vegan, and they went right through me. Poo poo pee pee story coming. They settled in the area of my stomach, and then all of a sudden I just had a bathroom incident, and it was very interesting.
a situation, dare I say.
Absolutely. It was definitely because it was the eggs that did me in, really.
Oh no. That sounds really good though.
It was
I had my first pumpkin spice latte the other day. Like, mind you, I can drink pumpkin spice all year round, but I had my first one of the season and I just savored it. Like, it was an out of body experience. So Leo says, I'm doing okay. Things have been well, doing a lot of gaming. I just wanted to pop in and say hi and let you know that I'm alive and well. Well, we're grateful to see that you're doing well, and feel free to pop back in whenever you'd like. It's always good to see you, my friend. So, you know, it's interesting, like, current event snapshot wise, like thinking about like the weather, like that's really the only thing I have been in tune with. Like, I really haven't been watching the news a lot. Like, there's been like some political things going on. Like, that's the usual. Like, at this point in our lives, there's always some sort of political thing going on.
Like the impeachment stuff with the Republicans lambasting the president. And
yes. And Hunter Biden is indicted on 3 counts of gun violations. So, like, obviously people on the Democratic side are not upset about that, because if somebody's going to be indicted for something, then that clearly means that they did something wrong. So can you hint where I'm going with that double standard? So have you seen all the stuff about Drew Barrymore?
No, what's up with Drew Barrymore?
So, that there is the SAG-AFTRA and Writing Guild strikes going on. It's been going on for months now. Mm-hmm. Drew Barrymore announced that she is resuming her show regardless of the strikes. And she, like, her show is a struck show.
Oh.
So basically she's being like, to hell with my writers, I'm doing this. And people are big mad because, like, let's be honest, as a millennial, Drew Barrymore was our childhood, like, breath of fresh air that we loved in every single rom-com possible. And now this is happening. So it's like,
is she going to do it without writers?
I don't know. Or she's either going to do it without writers or hire writers who are just going to, what do they call it when you...
Scabs.
Like, she's probably just going to hire scab writers. So at least that's my understanding. At least that's what I'm thinking. Godzilla Kiru is here. Hey, it's good to see you. Leo says, I need to drag y'all into playing Sky COTL with me. I'm surprised Donnie's not all over this game, since it's practically about moth people. My interest has peaked. Any other current event things that I missed? I don't think so.
No, I think that's about it. But
Are we ready for our show mission statement? It's your turn today.
Oh my goodness. And I copy and pasted it in the notes. Did you see that?
I did see that. That's a good idea, honestly.
So smart. We live in a dynamic society where social media shapes us by creating greater opportunities for connection. It has led to a developing understanding of the adversity faced by many marginalized communities, the powers causing the adversity, and those who act as bystanders as atrocities take place in real time. Our goal with this show is to make connections and have challenging conversations about social topics, current events, pop culture, and art. Together, let's weave the threads of understanding with what privilege we have in order to learn, educate, and create in a world that's growing.
Do you know what I'm grateful for? What? I am grateful of your performances of our show mission statement. I honestly am. It's so good. And why I did not invite you to start doing them on and off with me since the beginning, I'll never know.
I don't know.
Better late than never, right?
I liked hearing you do it every week because then I can do the praying hands.
Oh, well, Leo says, I'm sure you waited for me to say this, and we have. Wait, Donnie is doing praying hands? Blasphemy. Ha ha, we tricked you. We've switched roles briefly. I can't do praying hands as good as Ari can, though, because Ari, when you do them, you're like very pensive and poignant and poised. And when I do them, I'm just like, just bopping around, you know? So let's talk about gratitude. What does it mean to demonstrate gratitude?
So gratitude to me is not only displaying a sense of thankfulness for the things around you, as well as the actions that people do for the things. It's a sense of internalizing within yourself, a sense of feeling of comfort and belief that these things are changing your life for the better.
Ooh, absolutely. So kind of like just like a sense of also like fulfillment and wholesomeness in a way as well, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, or I guess I could say that just describes like the resulting feeling of gratitude, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I guess like I prompted us to put together lists of things that we're grateful for. So let's share the things that we are most grateful for. I did have a list of 10, but now I have a list of 14 things. So
what is the first thing on your list? Top of your list, number one.
So I kind of did it in priority, I think. My number one is being alive and healthy.
Well, that's just a given. I didn't put that on my list. Because that's just like a given.
Here I'm being all cerebral about it.
My number one thing that I am grateful for is meditation. I did a whole post about this the other day on my Facebook, because meditation has really changed my life for the better. I was talking about this, that like with the tools of, medication and therapy, meditation has really like changed my life for the better. It really has affected my life in so many ways. I wrote this just after I meditated. So it was the first thing that was on my mind. It was at the forefront of my mind. I really am thankful that I have these tools of medication and therapy and meditation to this trifecta of things in order to combat my mental illness, that if I didn't have those things, then I feel like I would be at a loss for combating, I feel like I would just be lost without them. So it has given me so much peace, in order to get through my days.
Right. Cause like, honestly, it's been like it's been a very long journey for you. Right.
It has. Yes.
And I think that like now that you're at this point where Because I know you've expressed, like, that frustration over not feeling like you're in control of the situation. And now, like, you have, like, the tools at your disposal for that. Mm-hmm. Like, that's got to be refreshing for you, right?
It is, yes.
Yeah. Leo says, I'm grateful for breathing. Well, that is good. We are grateful that you're breathing as well. Jackie says, my boys and their happiness and being fulfilled. That is important. Like, I am, like, I really care about other people's fulfillment in my life too. So that's super important. Number two on my list is my family. And when I say my family, it's like an umbrella thing. When I say like actual family, but also friends and pets and plants. Plants are my family. So I say this because, and I've done some videos about this, but like as I've gotten into my mid-30s, where I've been at this juncture in my life where like I've literally had to like set healthy boundaries and remove people from my life and take into consideration like who I allow in my circle and how that is good for my mental health and my well-being. Like it's been very illuminating to see like the people who have stayed and the people who enrich my life as opposed to those who are very, very toxic. Right. So
absolutely. I didn't do this in order, I don't think, because I was going by just like what I thought. But
which is fine. That's totally fine.
Let me skip around because I have my support system to help me in times of trouble. So that includes my family, my friends, my doctors, my therapists, all of the people around me who supported me through all of, my support system. That includes you, Donnie. That includes, all of my friends, and family, and, the people who truly do care about me and who would be there for me, to help lift me up and, who always check on me when I'm having, like either a mental health crisis or who are who just check on me when I'm down or who just ask me if there's anything that I need who I check on when they need something as well. It's just that support system that just always kind of like kept me going throughout this time period. But I think I wouldn't be here as well, because with those physical tools of having medication, therapy, and meditation, the physical support system of the people around me, that infrastructure that has really sustained me as well.
Wow, that's really powerful to hear. And I know I feel very much the same way about our friendship as well, and what it's become as like that very crucial support network, you know? Because like Haru says, I'm grateful for finding a community. Finding community is very important.
Absolutely. That's what I'm talking about, that support system.
Donnie's leafy children, my dirt babies. Circulating back to friendship and like support networks, like I'm genuinely grateful for our friendship. We've been friends for 15 years. We've kind of like, we've had moments like where we've kind of lost touch over the years. We've gravitated back.
It's so crazy to me to think that we've been friends for
always,
that long.
Right. And I often forget too that we literally had like a 5-year gap where we like, where we were like completely separated. Right. Mm-hmm. And we picked up the friendship, like nothing happened, which is like super nice. And it's led to this. It's led to us literally talking constantly now, which I love and appreciate. So, no, like, I just think that it just goes to show you, like, how things can transform, right? It's like a little plant. If you water it, it'll grow. Ooh, that was cringy. Ooh, I'm sorry, guys.
I love it.
So the next thing on my list. Okay, so
before we get to that, Donnie, if our friendship were a plant, what kind of plant would it be?
What plant would it be? Oh God, that's a hard question. I would say that we would be a Norfolk pine. We're
Ooh.
beautiful. We're resilient. We love rainy days and we like cool weather. Well, we like hot weather too.
I suggest that we would be a hydrangea because we would not go outside, or a spider plant because we like to put our feelers out into things, or because we are so successful at things, we are a money tree.
A money tree. Okay, that's one of my favorite plants, so I'm totally okay with that. That would like perfection. Perfection. We need like a little money tree prop in here now, like all the time. Didn't we
Put a
do a
little
plant
sticker on your,
episode? Did we
huh?
do a plant up? Did we do a plant episode where I literally had plants in the screen? I cannot remember. I think
We
we
did
did.
one where we talked about our spaces and you showed off your plants.
That was a while ago. That was like
Yes.
season one
Yes.
or something. So now that I've done one and two, the rest of them on my list are kind of just like random randomness. Number three on my list is music. I love, like, I don't think I emphasize this enough, but when I was in middle school and high school, music used to be my life. I literally was going to be a music major before I changed it and decided to double major in English and anthropology. And I have moments where I like really, really miss being an active musician. Since okay, I play the saxophone and I'm still relatively okay at it. I don't think I've lost any luster at that. But since I've learned how to play the piano, I enjoy
I used
singing.
to watch your piano videos.
Oh God. Like I like there's this small little flicker of a dream in the back of my head. Remember how a few episodes ago I had like an existential crisis when I was like, I don't think I have any other dreams left. I think one dream that I have left is being a practicing musician. Like I would love to be a musician. But
And like
beyond that,
make songs like Brotherwell.
yeah, like makes like I used to do a lot of musical composing back, especially when I was in high school and early college, and then I just stopped. I just stopped. But no, like I would love to do that again. I like even just beyond like being a musician, like music has been very significant to my life. When I was going through everything I was going through in high school and everything, like sometimes music was like the only cat like the only catharsis that I could experience, you know? So in conclusion, I love music.
I love that our friendship has gotten to the point that sometimes I will send you because I recently have gotten into learn to love Evanescence, and I was discovering like Evanescence like because we had been talking about Evanescence or something, and I started getting recommended Evanescence songs, like deep cuts of Evanescence, like old school songs of Evanescence. Remember that night that I was like sharing like old school songs and you were like, those are some
Yes.
deep cuts that you were
I was
and
like, these are some bops, Ari. Like
you were
this is the good
you
stuff.
and you were sharing some you were sharing some Kylie Minogue. Friendship has gotten to the point that we start sharing music together because
I love that too.
that was something that we had not done for a long time. And so now I
I don't
like
think
that
we had
our
done that since college.
No, we have not. And so I like that our friendship has gotten to the point of where we do share music together because I like your musical taste and I like sharing my musical taste with you. My musical tastes are decent, but old
I
school.
feel
And
like, but I love that though. Like, you've made me appreciate some like classic Americana stuff, and I love it.
because I was recently just listening to Peter Frampton's Baby, I Love Your Ways. I was like, Donnie would never listen to that.
But so like I know you like jazz though too. Like
I do.
I think part of the reason why I started listening to jazz a lot was probably because of college. Because I remember you would invite me over to your apartment and you would be playing jazz and we'd be like cooking or like doing readings or whatever, like, or yeah. writing, right? So yeah. I remember that very fondly.
Mm-hmm. I do like me some jazz. I have some Edith Hamilton that you might Ooh, like.
I do like Edith Hamilton. Mm-hmm. I've been listening to a lot of Tony Bennett lately because Tony Bennett recently passed away and I've always
loved Tony Bennett.
I even appreciated him before my Queen Gaga started collaborating with him. But...
Nice. Tony Bennett is a good one.
Leo says, I am a mushroom because I'm a fungi. I love puns. I am grateful for puns.
I'm grateful for my disability money because it gives me the breathing room I need to live a stress-free life.
Oh, that is important. That is important. Having that sustainable, like, that stability, right?
Having financial freedom is just so good. It's just, it like, because I would not be able to hold down a job. I've tried, like, just like be trying to maintain like even a tarot channel. It's just too stressful for me sometimes, and I just have to take a break because mm-hmm. it's just too overwhelming at times. And like that's why I like doing this, you know, we take breaks from this because we can't do it every week. And so this is fun because it's sort of like a relaxing atmosphere, but you know, we do take breaks for our mental health and we take breaks for you know, stuff like that. So it's given me the breathing room to do the things that mm-hmm. we need to when we need to do it.
You know, like building off that, like I have on my list, having the stability that I have, like that's an important thing on my list too, because I mean, now that like one of my dreams was to become a teacher in higher ed and now I am, and I'm full time and I'm able to kind of like, I'm able to sustain myself. And I, because of the state of the economy and the world and like, how competitive things are, like I never thought that it would be a reality for me.
And I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you that you have the job that you do and that you're a full-time professor. You've worked so hard to mm-hmm. get the job that you do. And now you have a house and Britt is working towards having a full-time career. I see you getting so far ahead and I'm just so proud of both of you.
Oh, I'm proud of you too. Like you, I love the fact that you've reached a point in your life where you are creatively like unshackled. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like I feel like you've reached this point where, and I feel like maybe both of us have, we've reached this point where our creative outlets don't feel like chores necessarily. Kind of going back to what you were saying, why we take breaks, right? Because mm-hmm. it's so like as creators, we know how hard it is to get to that point, right? Mm-hmm. Because we're always kind of like relegating what we love to do to the back burner all the time. And now that we've reached this balance in our lives where we can do the things that we love healthily while also like allowing ourselves the grace to take breaks, like that balance is important because now the things we love won't feel like chores, right?
Right.
Oh, I went on a tangent there. Let's see. Jackie says, we need to do a karaoke night one night. Ooh. Let me tell you, I can sing both the male and female parts of Bring Me to Life by Evanescence like a champ. Like a champ. Arpy is grateful to have awesome friends and coworkers.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, Arby read your mind. You guys are rock stars. Oh, Taylor's here. Are you grateful for candying Cheetos? Yes. I love this. Is it my turn?
Yes.
The next thing on my list are plants slash nature. I had plants twice on the list. So I don't, like, I am so grateful for nature. Like, I'm just, maybe I'm gonna sound like a tree hugger saying this, but I love trees. I love being able to go outside and to just not feel burdened by stressful everyday things, but just simply being outside.
I like, you know, that. On my list, I also have my apartment, which gives me space to move around in and be myself. And I think that that's kind of goes into nature as well. It's sort of like having space to just, you know, move and breathe and like ground yourself and be part of like this ecosystem. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And just like, because I lived in Seattle, and Seattle is a concrete jungle. It's a big city. I lived in a very small, like my bookshelf that I have in my living room took up most of my studio apartment, and it was very crowded. It was very cluttered. And I constantly felt like I was suffocating in this apartment and in the city. And sure, it was easy to clean, but it also got dirty very quickly as well. And it constantly felt like I was, you know, having to turn things over very quickly. And it, like the ceiling, the apartments were stacked on top of each other, and they were made with low quality materials, and they were made with hardwood floors. The ceiling would shake when people would walk. Like I have video of, it would shake so much that it like would knock lights out and stuff, because there was just no buffering between me and the other apartments. And so it would be like, you didn't want to be in your apartment at all because it was just so frustrating. So now I'm in an apartment where it's relative, like sometimes there's noise, but like it's relatively quiet and it's relatively peaceful. And like, there's a little bit of a buffer between you and the apartments next door and like underneath. And I live on the third floor, so like there's nobody above me like making noise. It's just very peaceful.
Oh, that means you get to hear the rain on the roof.
I do, yeah.
I'm grateful for that.
And I have a balcony, so I can sit out there on hot days, and like I can have the sunshine on me, and like I just, you know, it's just, it feels like I have so much closet space, so I have storage, and so it's just like I have like it's like a home.
Yeah. Now, like, I'm grateful for spaces like that, too. Like, I'm thankful that I've gotten to the point where I can create. I have a creative space now. Because we've moved so much in, like, the last year or two, like, I feel like I've not been able to, like, really sit down and carve out a creative space that, like, enriches me. And now that I finally have gotten to do that, it, like, now that I've just started feeling that, like, it feels really, really good. Next thing on my list, people who demonstrate empathy. Was I feeling a little petty? Okay, so here is why I wrote that. Because, so there's, like, a local group for, like, this small city that I'm living in. And somebody posted a question of, are there any LGBTQ+ inclusive employers that are hiring, blah, 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 blah. And of course, like, the comments were terrible. Comments were like, does that matter? People don't need to know what you do in the bedroom. So I started fighting with people.
Oh my goodness.
I was just like, there is more to it than that. Like, what if somebody's discriminated against for being in a relationship or having a family member who has visibility, blah, 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 blah. So, I don't know, like, I am grateful for people who do demonstrate genuine empathy, because I just feel like right now in this world, there's not enough of it.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So when I do see it, like, it's almost like this serotonin rush where I'm just like, wow, you're a nice person. Like, I appreciate you, kind of a thing.
It's just like, it's like a human being with like common sense and kindness. And
what's that? I don't know. I don't know. What's your next thing?
My cat, which has kept me sane, and even though he likes to bite me, he is actually a really good cat.
We are grateful for our kitties, Larity, Gaby, Phoebe. Love them all.
Yes.
Love them all. I think there are some people who are like adamantly anti-pet, and that's fine. Like, you know, like not everybody necessarily wants that responsibility, but
not everybody can be correct in this world. And those are the people who are anti-pet.
And it is okay to be wrong. So long as you're not telling me about it.
It's just that for so many years I've wanted a cat. I had a cat when I lived in Iowa. And that cat had cancer and had me put down because he was having seizures so bad. And he was an old cat. And I loved that cat so much. I took care of him until the very end when we had to put him down because he was just having seizures every day. And that was terrible. Baby. And we named him Odin. And he was just an old cat who was just having, you know, problems. So we put him down. And I said, I couldn't have a cat because it was just near Christmas. As we were putting him down, the most wonderful time of the year was playing. It's the most wonderful time of the as we're putting down this cat. So I was like, I need to wait until I can get another cat.
Horrible song association now.
I know, but when I
shouldn't laugh. Ooh.
It was just after Halloween in 2019, and I was like, I had just gotten awarded my disability money. And the first thing I said to myself was, I'm going to get a cat. And so usually they don't put black cats out because it was just after Halloween, and they don't put black cats out for Halloween because they don't want people to sacrifice them. So I had just come after Halloween and they had just started putting the black cats out again at the rescue place. So I had gotten Larity was literally the last cat of his litter. And he was, his family, had been rescued from underneath a bridge, because they were all feral. And so his mother had given birth to them under a bridge, and they had found these cats under a bridge. And so, all of his siblings, had been, you know, sent off, and he was the last one, and he was very rambunctious. And so here he is sitting, the only one in this little playpen. And so I picked him up and I was like, I want this cat. And at the time that was not his name. His name was not Larity. His name was, Where Are You?
And I was
his original name, Larity's original name was, Where Are You? And so I was like, I want this cat. And they're like, are you sure? Are you sure you want this cat? He's kind of a playful cat. And I was like,
he was a kitten, right?
He was a kitten, right? And he was about maybe like 6 weeks old at that time. And I said, yes, I want this cat. And so they said, okay, you just have to pay the money and then you can have this cat. And so I paid all of the fees. He had a chip at the time, and he had all of his shots and everything. So all I had to do was just pay the fee and I can just take him home with me. And I got a bunch of stuff for him that day. Like I got, carrying case. I had to pay for the carrying case for him. And I bought a bunch of food and stuff and I brought him home and I took a video of him, coming out of the case, and the dog like freaked out. Because my sister had a dog, you know, had Gus at the time. And here's this little kitten coming out into the apartment, like.
Spell shadow. Oh, baby Larity. Larity is still cute, but like baby Larity was super cute.
Baby Larity was super cute. But I don't regret ever getting Larity. He he has seen me through some of my worst depressions and some of my highest manias. And he has been there for me when I needed him the most.
I love that. I feel that way about our cats too. The next thing on my list is poetry. I am grateful for poetry. I'm grateful that it's gotten me through so much. I am grateful for that it gives me an outlet to like safely express myself, but like do so in like a reserved way where I don't have to always reveal everything. I'm grateful that it's part of my profession now. Like it's interesting how it's kind of like manifested itself in like different corners of my life. So
well, I'm really nervous about this newest poetry collection. I was ordering my newest poetry collection, and I was like, it gets really spicy.
I'm excited about it.
It's so spicy. It gets really raunchy. It gets so raunchy. And I was like, oh my God, it gets these like fever pitch highs, and then it comes down. And then it gets to these fever pitch highs, and then it comes down. And that's like one part. And then it goes to the second part where it's like acceptance of like what's happening, sort of, but like, it's hard to explain.
I'm excited about it.
But I was like, oh my God, it's a lot.
I personally think there needs to be more spicy poetry. I don't think I've ever written spicy poetry before.
I have so many spicy poems in this. Do you want me to read one?
Absolutely. While you find one, I'm going to Taylor. Oh, I'm grateful for you too. I'm grateful that you have an otherworldly level of patience. With regard to how slow I respond to texts. Are you finding a poem?
Oh my God. Here we go. Yes. Oh my God. Here we go. Okay.
Poem, 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 poem. Are you trying to decide on which one?
Well, it builds. It's building. And so I'm getting to where it builds up to the dirty.
I'm really looking forward to this.
Okay. Here we go. The shines that glow and fall. The stars that shine are these, the bliss of explosion, and weekly your unspoken name passes my thin lips, the unkissed kiss that happens after as my head hits the pillow, destiny of one comment on a trajectory that passed out west and fate that came crashing an asteroid on a path. There are many things that happen, but only one thing right now, and that is that I stood up, shaking from my recent encounter, grabbed my pad, and began with a letter from my part of the darkness.
Oh, so like it's spicy, but it's not like it leaves, like metaphorically speaking, it leaves it up to the reader to interpret as well.
Do you want me to read the next one? Because the next one's much more dirty. The next one's called to. The next one's called I Love the Way You Fuck Me.
Go for it.
It's the fading of the day into the blackness of a night when it all when all feels familiar and I am full of vim and vigor. Fuck me like you used to. Make me the sexiest feeling in the whole world. Arms and legs intertwined in sheets. They tangle up around us and you kissing me the way I want to be tonight. Ooh. And that's all I'm going to leave you with. Sorry.
Teaser. A teaser. Oh, no, I love it. Like, no, I think that there should be a space for spicy poetry because, like sexual expression is part of the human experience, right? So, like, mm-hmm. why shouldn't it be?
Anyway, enough of that.
So, what is the name of your collection that's up and coming?
Beachfront Poetry. And the thing that I'm grateful for, books which help teach me and provide me mental stimulation. So that is what I'm grateful for.
Yeah, same. That's how I feel about poetry as well. So the next one I had on my list, we already talked about therapy. So I obviously am pretty grateful for therapy myself. But the next thing I have is I'm grateful for candles. I love candles. Like, drop me off at a Bath and Body Works. I'm going to come out of there broke.
So we have all of these things that we're grateful for. We do have questions that we because we're getting towards the end.
Oh, right. Yes.
So what do you think gratitude can do for the state of the world?
Well, I think so. Gratitude, I think, is a validation of sorts, right? And I think that gratitude and demonstrating gratitude has a way of like encouraging not only diplomacy, but also promoting empathy. And I think both of those simultaneously have this potential to just make interactions more wholesome, more meaningful, open people's eyes to like different perspectives and experiences.
I think it gets people to think about their life circumstances because as we're talking about all of the things that we're grateful for, it's getting us to think about how we live our lives and like how we live our lives more meaningfully. So like, yeah.
No, it's true because like, and I think this is where the pandemic made things interesting because I feel like people at that point were kind of forced to slow down and to really think about who they are, who they've been, how they got up to now, right? Mm-hmm. And some people may have kind of like had some existential crises over it, but I think there's also many people who took something from that and realized like, okay, like, we've survived this much. I am grateful for that. How am I going to continue maintaining that in the future, right?
Yeah. I watched a TikTok recently that said that a lot of people are living that people don't know how to act anymore, that there's a sense of like living life where you just, there's sort of a sense of like, I could die at any moment, so I'm just gonna kind of live out of pocket. So like people are just doing like crazy stuff all the time, like just doing like the most random things ever. And I feel like there's sort of a sense of like gratitude of living that like, you know, people are doing like, people say, oh, you can't do that in here. And it's like, what are you gonna do? I could die at any minute. And it's sort of like, I feel like there's a sense of like gratitude of living though, because it's like, yeah, I mean, you know, what are people going to say? Like, you know, you could die at any moment because of the pandemic, like, and like the state of affairs are like these things, but also like, there is a sense of like, of living in the moment and having a sense of, you know, gratitude that you are alive right now and that, you know, you should be able to.
Yeah. So Jackie says, gratitude is kindness, showing respect and understanding and being thankful for what a person. So like, interesting. So arguably, gratitude could also be the result of a lot of different things, right? Like, I really think that if we want gratitude to make a difference in the world, and if we really want people to, like, be that self-reflective about who they are and the world around them, I think that kindness is one of the most important catalysts for that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how does gratitude exist with, especially without kindness? You know, like, kindness about, like, different people's histories and experiences and backgrounds and who they are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I love that. Interesting question. Can gratitude be artificial or manufactured for someone to appear good?
Isn't that what virtue signaling is? Basically, is a sense of like manufactured gratitude, where you sort of do things to appear on the surface that you're doing things out of a sense of like that you are trying to appear to be a good person, but it's sort of like virtue signaling, like, you know, you don't actually subscribe to the things that you're actually doing, but you're doing it as a way of like appearing on the surface that you're doing certain things to appear a certain way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I think that's a good point. I think kind of connecting back, was it a few episodes ago we talked about this, about martyrdom? I think that manufactured gratitude can also be a reflection of that too. Like if you go out of your way to kind of like sabotage a situation by expressing gratitude, even though it's not really warranted, but you're doing so to draw attention to your position in the social situation, right? Like that could be kind of, I mean, virtue signaling, martyry, etc. I think there are ways for people, like, there's a way for a person to weaponize everything, unfortunately. And I think for gratitude, like, yeah, like gratitude seems like hugging trees, sunshine, and rainbows, but we also have to be mindful of people who can use gratitude in
understanding. I suppose there's always a darker side of everything if you're looking for it. But
I'm just gothy. I have to look at the darker side of everything. How does reflecting about our gratitude about things daily change the way one views the world and the people that are in it? So I know you have a lot of experience with this, especially like you do a lot of like affirmations, a lot of like gratitude.
I haven't done affirmations in quite a while, but when I was struggling with a lot of like self-image and body image, where I was struggling with like how I appeared for myself, I would do a lot of like affirmations and stuff to help, you know, with how I viewed myself. I don't need it as much anymore, because I have done that self-work of doing those affirmations and things like that. So I've internalized a lot of the affirmations of, you know, I am beautiful, I am kind, I am, you know, good. But it was sort of like a self-hypnosis almost, that like you have to say it all the time to kind of like internalize that for yourself. Gratitude, looking at gratitude, I think if we look at the things that we're grateful for every day, if everybody just looks at things that they're, and I think that this exercise today was really good for me, because it's sort of like taking a step back and just like looking at the bigger picture of like, just thinking about your daily life and like looking at the aspects of your life and like what your life means and like what, you know, and so maybe like I should start doing a gratitude journal again, because if we look at the things that were great, because you get into this cycle of negativity, you get into these downward spirals. And so you start thinking about like all of the things that like are problems, and you start thinking about like all of the bad stuff that's wrong with the world. And so when you get into these downward spirals, you kind of, it can spiral out of control. But if you and everybody else starts thinking about what you're grateful for and thinks about all of the positive things in the world, it's sort of like it's uplifting, and it can kind of get you on a more healthy mindset. That not everything is all doom and gloom. That you know there are some good things about. It's like when you look at all negative news stories, or if you all look at all of the bad stuff that's happening in the world. I mean, there are bad things that are happening in the world, and that things that we do have to focus on. But if it's all that you look at, like if you only consume like negative stuff, it's going to affect your mental health significantly. And so you have to kind of like balance that with like the things that you're grateful for as a way of like pulling you back up from that darkness.
No, like I think that makes complete sense. I think that was very well put. To add to it, I think that gratitude is very infectious as well. Like when other people see things like kindness and gratitude, like in effect, like that has this way of being almost like representation in and of itself, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you see someone practicing affirmations or demonstrating their gratefulness about things that one person might not think is huge, but another person might think is huge, like that has a way of like encouraging that introspection, right? So no, I think that's another way that gratitude can definitely, going back to like benefit the world, like I think the infectiousness of gratitude is important.
I like that.
Yeah. So one final question, because we are nearing the end here. So we kind of already ventured in the direction, but self-gratitude, okay? Kind of similar to self-kindness. In what ways can we be more grateful about who we are as individuals?
Interesting question.
I'm going to kind of like pull from my therapy experiences with this, because one of my big struggles, like, I've been in therapy for 3 going on 4 years at this point. It's hard to believe it's been that long.
I know, right?
But one thing for me with therapy has been unpacking negative core beliefs about myself and turning them into positive core beliefs, you know, in some way. Like if I like fail at something, and instead of being like, I'm a stupid dum-dum who doesn't deserve anything, I could be like, I deserve to feel the fulfillment of success, or, you know, like, so, like the opposite of that. Right. Mm-hmm. He's like, and mind you, this is probably something that I'm going to be struggling with the rest of my life because of bullying, etc. I really, really struggle with like self-affirmation. Like I really, really struggle with self-deprecation, and you definitely know this about me. Yeah. Like sometimes, like if I do like something, even like if I make some sort of small mistake, even I will like it for me will translate to you don't deserve to exist in this space. What is wrong with you? Blah, blah, blah. So like for me, I am grateful that therapy has given me the tools to begin developing an appreciation for the person I am, you know? And it's funny, like, it's interesting. I was having a conversation with somebody the other day about this, and they were like, Donnie, you don't come off to me like you are insecure or that you have, you know, these negative core beliefs about yourself. And I'm just like, when you're used to feeling like this about yourself, you're very good at acting. Like you're very, very good at putting on a facade, because
you've done a lot of work on forgiving yourself, I think, in the last couple years, more than you have been. But yeah, I've seen you really struggle with that.
Yeah. Well, and what's funny is that forgiving myself over things that I don't even need to forgive myself over, like existing, right? Mm-hmm. So like that's part of the work that I've done in therapy. It's been like taking that that, like, just this need to minimize myself in every situation and kind of, like, disempower that just a little bit, so it's not, like, my immediate, and it's almost like a muscle twitch, or it's like breathing, like, for me, because I've done it for so long. But, like, if I were right now to think about ways that I can be more grateful of who I am as an individual, like, I'm grateful for the fact that I really enjoy bringing people together and diffusing tense situations. I think that's been, like, a thing that I really care about. So it's been really helpful for me. How about you?
I think you're just great, Donnie.
Oh, I think you are too.
And I wish you didn't have these limiting beliefs that, you know, you don't think you're good enough at times, because I think that you are more than good enough. I think that you're great.
Thank you. They're not as bad as they used to be. They are way better, to the point where, like, because it used to be, like, I literally would think about it every day. And now, like, I go days without even having a fleeting thought like that. So the fact that it's gotten that much better, like, in of itself is outrageous, like, astronomically an improvement. Mm-hmm. So how about you?
I think just being kind to myself, I think that that has helped a lot. I think that my confidence in myself has grown significantly, and doing a lot of, like, again, doing those affirmations for myself and, you know, moving the scale out of the bathroom was head and tails above, you know, got me to not think about my weight as much, and not worrying about my appearance, just loving myself and just caring, you know, looking at myself and being like, you know, I do look okay as I am. And it doesn't matter how, you know, I look, finding clothes that form fit my body and just look good for what I look like. And just moving with confidence in who I am and what I am, and just, and then that was so significant. And I just, felt so much different after that, that I was just going to live my life and not, be upset about things. I don't know, just showing myself kindness, because the world is so cruel, and, not allowing that to,
And you know what, you, like, I've been so proud of you, because over the past couple of years, like, I've seen the work you've done too. Like, you have made leaps and bounds with regard to, like, the things that were habitual for you, the things that, like, the way that you would perceive yourself physically, like, and that takes so much work. So, like, I really am proud of you. And I think in many ways, like, watching your journey has been very instrumental with me on my own journey as well. So, like, symbiotic. I love it. The final thing that I am grateful for, I am grateful for all of you. All of you who watch.
Absolutely.
All of you who come back and enjoy our chaotic, zany senses of humor. I just love it. I'm grateful for this show. Like, I'm just genuinely grateful for it. So any parting words for the night?
Thank you for showing up, and come back again sometime.
Love you all. Have a good rest of your night, and we'll see you again next week. Bye.